Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is good to be with you again, and thanks for having me back. I'm always glad to be invited, and it is not something that I take lightly, but this is an important thing. It is an important thing that I do. I believe, and I believe that God has called me to it, though I don't know why. The closest I can come is that the Bible says he uses the weak things of the world to shame the wise, and that's about as good as I can get. What I do to stand here on Sundays here or whatever church or whatever place that I happen to be, I've done church services pretty much all over the world. I've done them out of a duffel bag. I used to go to a nursing home in Lake Charles, and I had a duffel bag. Then I brought my laptop and a couple of speakers and a projector and my Bible, of course, and I would play music through the speakers. I'd just let Chris Tomlin sing his own song, and I'd put the words on the wall through the projector, and we had a little church service, and it was great. And I thought, man, I could do this anywhere, and so I have. I did it out at Holbrook Park one time on the wall in the pavilion. Did it in Kuwait. Did it in Iraq while I was deployed. It's fun. It's fun to be able to proclaim this truth. It's fun and enjoyable for me to be able to live out this calling. It is important to me to be able to do it. It is special to me. It is moving, it is touching, it is humbling to me to be able to stand here and proclaim this truth and speak of God and talk to you, talk to people, talk to whomever, the whosoever shall listen. This podium that we use, we call it a pulpit, and the word there means sacred desk. And there is an honor to be found standing behind this sacred desk. It is an important thing to share the truth, but it's not just my job. It's not just my calling. It is also yours. And just because you have a new preacher coming in, whether he's here for a long time or a short time, whether he's a permanent guy or whether he's just here for a time, it's not just his job either. We are all called to share the truth. We are all called to be missionaries within our circles. We are all called to be evangelists to the world that needs to hear the message, the truth, the word. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. I'd like to point this out. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. If you go down to the bottom of the chapter, and you'll find verse 18, and we'll start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, Paul says this: "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come together today to worship in spirit and in truth, to sing your praises, to shout hallelujah. Thank you for the good things that we enjoy in our lives. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for rebirth, being a new creation in you. And thank you, God, for calling us out of our darkness and into your glorious light to be sons and daughters of God and to be ambassadors of the Most High. So, Lord, let us proclaim your truth and live it out that others might see it and demonstrate it and evangelize and conduct missions. And whether we have the title or whether we just do the work, I pray, God, that it would all be for your glory and that many would come to know you as Father in heaven, as Savior of the world, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if we go back to the top, back to verse 18, and it says, all of this is from God. Now, what is Paul talking about there? And really, you have to go all the way back to chapter 2. And back in chapter 2, if your Bible is anything like mine, down near at the bottom and the end of chapter 2, it says, ministers of the new covenant. And Paul has opened the letter, the second letter to the people of Corinth, and he's talked about his change of plans, and he's talked about forgiveness. And then he gets really into the meat of the letter, that this letter is going to be about doing ministry. It's going to be about doing work. It's going to be about being a missionary and doing evangelism and doing the work of the church and doing the call of God and working out things as we are supposed to. And we are called to be ministers of the new covenant. And he begins to explain these things. That we are like the aroma of God. Now, this sounds really strange, but he goes on to explain that for people who are perishing, there's a smell of death in the spiritual sense. And people who are alive, we are the fragrance of Christ. And we bring all of this together, and it begins to make sense. Because what I have found through the years of doing this is we talk about salvation, and we talk about rebirth, and we talk about born again, and we talk about redemption, but the world doesn't know those words. The world doesn't understand what it means to get saved. When people were evangelizing me, I would say, saved from what? And they didn't know. And so I didn't either. And what Paul is going on to talk about here is salvation is a need. We're not just peddling the word of God for a price. We're not just making money by doing this as some have done. And in Paul's day, this was a big deal. And it still is. But in Paul's day, there was this thing called abundance preaching. And it was like a circus. And an evangelist would come into town and he'd send a group of people ahead of him and they'd stir up the city, they'd stir up the crowd, they'd go into the marketplace and they did all manner of things. And then the evangelist would make his way into town and they'd set up a tent, not so different from the way it was not so long ago. And it was a carnival-like atmosphere. But what they weren't proclaiming was truth. They were proclaiming abundance. They were proclaiming need and greed. And they were praying people out of death and into heaven. They were praying people out of hell and into heaven. And they had signs on the side of boxes, the offering boxes. And basically what they said was, the louder the noise is when you drop the coin inside, the faster the soul springs out of hell and makes its way to heaven. And so people would put large sums of money in these boxes. And they were peddling the word of God for a price. Paul says, we don't do that. And not only do we not do that, we don't need letters of recommendation. And that goes back to his earlier life when he was persecuting Christians. And he was on his way to persecute Christians. And he had letters of authority to persecute and kill Christians. And that's when he had his dramatic change on the road to Damascus. That he was made blind for those 3 days. And after that time, something like scales fell from his eyes. He had letters of authority from people in authority to commit this crime honestly. And he goes on to talk about ministry, not as it was done in the Old Testament, but as it is done in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the way ministry was conducted was in the temple. And people would go into the temple with their sacrifice, and they would slay this beast, and blood was poured out on the altar. Once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with a basin of blood and sprinkle the ark and sprinkle the mercy seat, the lid. When all of this started, Moses was on the mountain, and he would come down after communing with God, and his face was radiant. And they covered his face, not because it was scary, we come to find out, but because they didn't want the people in camp to see the radiance fading from Moses' face. Because the thought was, if the radiance is fading from Moses, what possible hope do I have? Do I still have the Spirit if Moses isn't glowing? If he's the only one who can talk to God, what purpose do I serve? What possible hope do I have? And the point of the matter is, we all have the opportunity to commune with God, not just the high priest who goes into the Holy of Holies once a year. Because you remember the story as Jesus was crucified and died on that Friday afternoon, the veil between the Holy of Holies was ripped in two. And essentially what happened was common people could now enter into the presence of God, not just the high priest. That's worth saying hallelujah, huh? That's right. But life is a struggle, Paul goes on to say. That we are like jars of clay. We are little earthen vessels. I like to think of myself as one of those little terracotta pots that, you know, if you're gardening, cautiously. A little terracotta pot. And I did this one time as a demonstration. I put a white bead to represent a pearl of great price inside of a little terracotta pot. Because that's really all I am. A little earthen vessel. Paul goes on to say that God hid his mysterious, glorious thing of great price within the earthen pots that we are. And he goes on to describe this earthen pot. It's hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not abandoned. We're constantly being broken down, like those little terracotta pots. They don't last long, and they break real easy, and some of them have cracks and scratches, and they wear out, and that's kind of the way our bodies do. Outwardly, our body, the physical part of it, is wearing out. But inwardly, when we are renewed by the Spirit and our spiritual life has already begun because of the thing of great price, the treasure in the jar of clay that God has put in there is his Spirit. When our spirit dies as we say yes to salvation, God's Spirit comes in and takes over and cleans house and becomes our thing. And so it's no longer I who live, but God in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? And so within this earthen vessel is a thing of great price, a treasure that is eternal. So outwardly I'm wasting away, inwardly I'm being renewed because I'm renewed by the Spirit of the living God. Paul goes on to say more about death in chapter 5, and he talks about our heavenly dwelling. He says, if this earthen tent is destroyed, we have a building. But that's not even the word there. The word is house. And the good evangelist would just say a mansion. That if this earthly tent is destroyed, if this clay pot is broken and destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven. You have a mansion waiting for you in heaven. And since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade other people, he says down here towards the middle of chapter 5. And it all looks like ridiculousness. But if we're out of our minds, it's for Christ. If we're in our right minds, it's for you. I'd rather be crazy-ish. Or, depending on who you ask. Because it's not just a physical thing that we're doing. It's not just a physical life that we're living. It's not just a physical existence that we're doing here. It is a spiritual thing. And the good evangelist would say, I'm not a physical being having a spiritual experience. I'm a spiritual being having a physical experience. To someday be reunited in the splendor of heaven with those who have come on, who have come before. And then this momentous statement in verse 17, he says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I'm not who I used to be. I am a new thing. I have a new identity. I have a new name written up in glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. All of this talk about the difference between the physical and the spiritual, the physical and the heavenly, the earthly and the spiritual, all of this stuff. Life and death, life in the body, life in the spirit, death in the body, death in the spirit. All of this stuff is not just an academic exercise. All of this stuff is not just words that we speak. All of this stuff is not just one person saying, get saved. Because there's more to it than that. It's not just the verbal. It's reality. And the reality is that if you die in your physical nature without your spiritual nature having been dead, the spiritual has to go to the place of death. But if your spiritual dies and is resurrected in Christ as the first fruits, as the demonstrator, before your physical part can die, but your spiritual part has already been renewed and goes to the place of eternal life. All of this, once we are saved, once we are born again as a new creation, as brothers and sisters in the faith, as heirs to the kingdom, as royal children, a royal priesthood, all of this is from God. And now we come into our text. All of this stuff that Paul's been talking about for chapters and years. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself. Well, why didn't we do it? What does reconciled even mean? Well, let's think about that for a minute. If you are at odds with your spouse, if you are at odds with your children or your parents or your siblings, if you are at odds with a friend or a family member, if you are in disagreement, let's say you're butting heads, you're disagreeing over a thing, you've fallen out of favor with one another, you're alienated from one another, whatever the problem might be, you have had a disagreement. You're arguing. Things are not well between you. The idea then is to come back together, reconciled. The history of that word is pretty interesting. I'm such a nerd, I had to look it up. The etymology of reconciled is reconciliare, back, friendly. You with me? You go back to being, you re-friendly each other. You reconcile, your relationship. All right, let's tie this up now. We are at enmity with God. The world is at enmity with God when we are apart from God. We need to be brought back into a right relationship with God. What has separated our relationship from God? Sin. And until our sinfulness is atoned for, which it has been, and we have accepted that redemption, that repayment, that being purchased again by the atoning work of Christ, we are at enmity. We are enemies of God. Our sin is not just about the eraser we stole from the five and dime store when we were little kids because it smelled like bananas and we wanted it. That's a true story. Our sinfulness is not just what we've done or haven't done. It is who we are. Our sinfulness is based upon our humanity and our inability to reach God. We have to become a spiritual thing. Our human nature is not able to. It requires a spiritual thing to happen. And a spiritual thing happened upon the cross of Calvary when Jesus stretched out his hands and died. His blood became the atoning price to be paid for the sin that we committed, the sin that we are in our humanity. And only through that can we be reconciled, brought back to a friendly state with God. Because sin makes God angry. It makes God unhappy. It is what separates us. It is the disagreement that happened between us. It is the thing that is between us that drives us apart. Sin is darkness. Sin is badness. Sin is our humanness. What color is sin? Now, most everybody says black, but it's not. In Isaiah, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, it's red. And what color is blood? And so the way I envision it is this. Because I'm old, there's a clipboard involved with a ledger of everything I've ever done, but really it just says human. And when I said yes to Jesus, whatever spiritual thing that has the clipboard took a stamp. Sometimes the good evangelist says that the stamp says paid in full. Mine is just a blank stamp, just a flat thing, dipped into the blood of Jesus and covers this stamp, this word human. Sin, sinful, that's written in crimson because it is my sin, covered with the blood of Jesus. Now that sin is still on that paper, but it is covered by the blood of Jesus. And when God gets the ledger, he doesn't see sinful, he sees the blood of Jesus. And when the report is handed to whoever guards the gates of heaven, they say, you can go. You can go in because your blood, your sin has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Made right made better, made okay, because Jesus died for me, shed his blood for me and for you and for the world. And that's the job that I'm talking about here. Be reconciled to God. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself. Now, we should have been the ones to do it. We were the ones who were at enmity with God. God hasn't changed. God hasn't moved. God is perfect. God is good. All right. But we didn't know. We are lost in our sinfulness. We are so lost in our sinfulness, we don't know. And so God made a way where there was no way, and sent his only begotten Son so that whosoever, right? But God did it. Follow along. All of this stuff that Paul has been talking about is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us a ministry. He gave us work to do. He gave us purpose and meaning and importance. Not only are we royal children, but he gave us a job. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, not to hang upon the cross. That was Jesus. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he is committed to us that message. That's evangelism. That's ministry. Each one of us who have said yes to Jesus, we have a job, we have a ministry, we have a purpose, we have work to do. We are called to do the work of God. We are called to do the work of ministry. We are called to do the work of evangelism. It is not just the preacher's job. And so whether it's in your own household, whether it's in your own family, whether it's in your classroom, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's in the post office, it doesn't really matter where it takes place. We are called to do the work of ministry and share the word with the world so that they may be reconciled to God. He reconciled us. Now we are called to tell them so that they may be reconciled, made friendly again. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. I learned this the hard way a number of years ago. As we were training to be deployed overseas, this was just a training environment, but it taught me a lot. I was a chaplain within the Army, within the National Guard. And the job that I had that day in training, this didn't happen in real life because I really messed it up. But in the training, I went to meet an imam, leader of the village, let's say. And he's actually a national. And as I walked in and we greeted each other, he was amazed that I knew how to greet him properly. And I saw in the back in the shadows my chaplain trainer. And his eyes got big too. Because we were so new at all this, I wasn't supposed to know all that. But I had already started learning. And the scenario was set up that this person had suffered a loss within the village. And we were there to find out what they wanted. And he looked at me and he said, "Can you help?" And I said, "I have to talk to my command." Well, I should have already done that. And that was the point of the whole training, is that when I found out that I was supposed to meet with this village elder, I should have gone to my commander and said, "What do you want to learn? What are your requirements? What do you want to accomplish in the meeting that I'm having?" Because in that moment, I became an ambassador between my command team and the village. I became an ambassador between the representatives of the United States of America and the people of the village. And I hadn't done that. I didn't know to do that. And so as everything unfolded, and we had to leave very quickly, we met up later that day or the next day, and the chaplain who was training me, said, "What did your command want you to do in this meeting?" I said, I don't know. I didn't talk to him. He said, "That's where you should have started. You should have started with your commander." You see where I'm going with this? We are an ambassador of the Most High God. We are a representative of heaven. It is not a simple thing. It's a big thing. That we are representatives of heaven. We are ambassadors of the Most High God. And we are appealing to the people of earth, the people of the world. What would the Most High God have you tell them? What would your commander want you to find out and bring to the people? Well, I think we have our instructions. They're in this book here. And we have a spiritual agent who tells us these things and reminds us of these things. And so if you don't know, you can ask. And tell the people, you are in need of something and you may not even know it. You are in need of a relationship with God. God has already made the way. God has already paid the price. God has already taken care of everything. You need to recognize your need of Him and say yes to Him so that when you die, your spirit can go to heaven. Maybe then this is the first time you've heard this message. I would say then let today be the day of salvation. But perhaps you know this story and you haven't done a real great job of sharing it. It's time to get back to work. The world is lost and dying, and it is our job to tell them. Sometimes we use words, but it is in our lifestyle. It is in the way we conduct ourselves. Because it is not just a life that we're living in the body. It is a spiritual life of a treasure inside of this earthen pot, this clay vessel. And so maybe this will lead us to conduct ourselves differently and live just a little bit differently, knowing that you are a royal priesthood, you are royal children, and you are ambassadors of the Most High God. Y'all want to stand up with me? Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for calling us, for calling me out of my darkness and into your glorious light, for making me something new, for making me not just an earthly being, but a spiritual being. And though this old clay pot is wearing out, the spiritual is being renewed. And I pray that you would give us an urgency, Lord, to share your message, to lead others to be reconciled to you by the Spirit through the atoning blood of Christ and of your work upon the cross. Not that we've done anything so great, but Lord, help us to use language when needed to live our lives in such a way that we lead others to want to know, and that we might share your truth and your word with the world, and help us to do so boldly, knowing that it is not just our call, but it is needed, and that you have asked us to it, you have led us to it, you expect us to do it, and we are honored to do it. So let us go be about your work until you come again, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.